Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. The rent versus buy question has been hotly debated. I mean, like hotly debated for about a decade or so. House prices have gone through the roof. And in the last, I'd say like 3 or 4 years, rent costs have gone through the roof as well. Our next guest believes passionately in the future of rentership. I'm using air quotes because this is a totally made up term, but it kind of fits here. Adrian Rocca is the founder and CEO of Fitzrovia. They're a rental developer based in Toronto. And we're going to talk about renting versus buying and also where some of the innovation may come from for those who choose to rent. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Rentership. Is this an attempt by rental developers to try and shift the balance between owning a home and having a mortgage and paying rent?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very case by case, a smart way to live. You don't tie up your balance sheet. You have the flexibility to live a more transient life. And if you look at the raw dollars at the end of the day on a monthly basis, it's about 30 to 35% cheaper than actually either buying a condo, living in a condo, or even wider spread if you buy a single family home, depending on the neighborhood in Toronto. So it's anywhere between 30 and 50% cheaper to rent today a brand new, purposeful product.
What does it mean to be purpose built?
So it will on the outside potentially look like a condo building. We don't build just glass boxes. We really pay a lot of attention to the facade. We want it to look and feel like a piece of art, right? So we are not in the business of value engineering as soon as we sell a building off plan and cheapen up the building potentially over time to expand our profits. This is a long-term investment in the asset in that neighborhood that we're operating in. So we love brick, we love precast. We go to a higher grade product on the exterior and the interior. Inside of the building, it really looks and feels like a hotel. The lobby is completely animated. We have what's called a lobby bar experience. So we run all our own F&B. We have an integrated bar that's a coffee shop in the morning, it flips to a cocktail bar in the evening, and it's got light food offering. And that really encourages people to hang out in the lobbies and interact and create a really strong sense of community. On the spaces themselves, the amenities are really, we would say, spectacular. I'd say the condo market, I pick on the condo market a lot. It looks great on a rendering as soon as it gets delivered. Typically, things are undersized or the craftsmanship's not quite up to par. We have to sell every single day. And so the quality of that experience has to really be exceptional. So our gyms are 6,000 square foot gym experiences that are called the Temple, and they're commercial grade gyms that are, official Hammer Strike performance centers. We have indoor basketball courts that are, co-branded by the Raptors. We call it the North Court by the Raptors, and we have an official partnership with them. We do resort style rooftop pools. We do suspended bars on a bridge. We do all kinds of things, ski simulators, media centers, Zoom rooms and co-working spaces. The spaces are really, really exceptional, we believe. And then we also have a bias to larger, more livable suites, lots of 2 and 3 bedroom units. This is a long-term view of the asset class. We want to go after 2 key segments of the market. So downsizers and young families that we feel are alienated by, the condo market or other rental developers. And so we think our total product really caters to that. That's the physical real estate, Bruce. The hospitality experience is really what separates us from our competition. We have a partnership with Disney and we have a partnership with the Ritz-Carlton. So all of our on-site staff get trained by those 2 great institutions.
This is a very, I would say, higher end or niche market. This is not everyone who can afford to live in what sound like pretty extraordinary surroundings. Tell us more about your target demographic. These are not people who are, these are not students. These are not people who are trying to scrape by with a minimum wage job.
Yeah, in some cases there are students. And maybe taking a step back, Bruce, we actually have 3 products. So I'm talking about what's called our developed decor or market rental product, which is what you'll see across the city. But we also just launched 2 weeks ago our new brand called the Maddox. And the Maddox is really a more affordable rental product that is catered to people that are looking for even larger, more livable suites, less amenitized. We're buying older buildings and repositioning those over time, but it's definitely at a lower rental tone. And then we're also launching a student housing strategy on the back of a very successful Waverly project that we developed 2.5 years ago at the corner of College and Spadina. So there's kind of three elements there. The vast majority, the biggest misconception is this is unattainable product. When we go back to our, call it market rental product, and we're only catering to the top 1% or 5% of the market. If you take a 30% shelter cost to income ratio and say that that is the affordable, CMHC will say that is the affordable ratio, in terms of rentership economics that people could afford and live comfortably. The top 20 to 25% of households in Toronto and across the GTA could afford to live in our buildings. That's at a 30% ratio. And there's lots of gateway markets and Sunbelt markets in the US and other markets, around the country that have shown to be able to sustain higher than that. Obviously, tax rates will change, but we think that that's actually very affordable to a lot of people. The other thing that we always talk about is the value proposition of what we're offering. It's not just the rental tone that we're offering, but all the things you get with it. You don't have to buy a gym membership. We have an amazing partnership with Cleveland Clinic, right? So if you're a new immigrant, 70% of people that are living in our new build product are actually new immigrants to Canada. They don't have access to a family doctor within the first year. It's very, very difficult to get that access to. We actually, as part of their rent, they get access to Cleveland Clinic doctors as an on-site virtual clinic. And so if they're feeling sick, they go down to the Cleveland Clinic room, there's on-site diagnostic equipment, they can write them a prescription, no cost. So you got to really look at the value proposition than just the headline rent.
What does that mean in terms of a one bedroom apartment in the GTA, in the city of Toronto? How much is a one bedroom apartment?
So studios are going to be going for, 22 to 2400 plus or minus a month. Our one beds are going to be going for $28 to $3,100 a month. The Waverly is a little higher than that, just because we do have a lot of international students, and it's a smaller building, so that the supply demand on that building is kind of driving those numbers a couple hundred dollars higher. But the bulk of our product is kind of high twos, low $3,000s a month for one bed.
How long do people stay in your properties? I have no context. I mean, I've been a renter many times over my life. Never, I don't think, for more than 3 years in duration. What does your data say in terms of how long people stay?
So we're as low, we have been as low as 17% turnover, that's 1.7, and as high as 28%. So depending on the building, depending on the year, it kind of bounces around those numbers.
Now, I appreciate you like to take some digs or throw some eggs at the condo market. But tell me a bit about the economics, how they differ. So if you're a developer, you're trying to make this your business, you have made a choice to focus on the rental market. And I assume there are lots of differences in terms of that economic model, access to capital, turnover, all those sorts of things. Paint the picture here for how your business works versus what I would perceive a condo developer to try to make work.
Yeah, so I think the business model is very, very different. I'm really trying to generate kind of platform value and focus on being a service provider to pensioners, pension plans, other institutional investors, because the return profile of a renter of a rental building is lower, or historically has been lower. Now the market with interest rates right now have changed that. It's kind of closer to being equalized. But historically, because a condo developer can sell off plan and get deposits that basically cut their equity to fund these projects in half, their return profile is much higher. Slow me down, Bruce, if this doesn't make sense.
It's good.
And so it's really a focus on long-term recurring income. In the rental space, we're more focused on no contingent liabilities, building, great buildings that will stand the test of time. And they're really an inflation hedge for our institutional investors on their books, on their balance sheets.
There is no debate that there is a need for more supply. You can argue about, you know, what kind of inventory should hit the market, but there's no debate that Canada needs more supply. What are the top 2 to 3 constraints on developers like you from increasing the momentum in which they bring new supply onto the market?
Yeah, so one would be some additional government help. And I pause there for a second, because I think all three levels of government have done a really good job, especially the provincial government and the federal government, really engaging with the private sector to understand what are the key issues that's going to lock new supply. So they announced an HST waiver in September of last year on new product. That's about a 10% savings on their total development costs. The reality that happened since then is we still saw interest rates accelerate, which almost completely neutralized that announcement. And so we have seen on the back of that announcement, no new starts in a meaningful way. And so we really need some additional help. We're asking the government to give property tax abatements. There's a big driver in value related to anything that touches net operating income in our business. And the second element is to apply the HST waiver to existing projects under construction, not just new builds, but on the caveat that anyone that gets that waiver has to start a new project in the next 2 years. So that essentially doubles up new supply. I'd say, so that'd be bucket one is government. Bucket two, I'm also going to say government is dealing with the municipality on pulling their permits, on getting projects rezoned. I would say it's trending in the right direction. It's a very different city today dealing with planning staff than it was a couple years ago. So they're definitely hearing the alarm bells around making sure that the system is more efficient and working hand in hand with developers and making sure that we're maximizing density as and where it makes sense and not get tied down on kind of smaller minutia that could tie up a file for, you know, up to an additional year, right? So those are two key elements. We'd love to see some construction costs come off. We're not seeing holistically costs come off to a degree. We are seeing the front end of projects that are being tendered. We're definitely seeing trades get more aggressive. That's going to certainly help. We would love to see the back end of our, you know, hard costs like mechanical, electrical come off a little bit as well and be part of the solution. The fact is, back of the HST announcement, we're still down 70%, 7-0 year over year on new starts. That's not a great situation when immigration's ramping up by 30% over the next 3 years.
Given how hard it is for many Canadians to get a family doctor, I can see some people just renting a property in one of your buildings so they can have someone to go to when they have a cough. I'm only partly kidding. Adrian, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce.
Adrian Rocca is the founder and CEO of Fitzrovia, a rental developer in Toronto. He was here to talk some about the economics of renting and also areas of innovation in terms of the wow factor at new projects coming on stream.